A few days ago, I had a conversation with Constance Liu and Hannah Palm, OBGYNs and community organizers working in the Four Corners region, about issues related to reproductive healthcare access. There will be some discussion of the June City Council meeting involving a pro-life group that had organized a number of towns and cities in Texas before motivating the state legislature to take on anti-abortion measures and restrictions.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Connie. We've been running this series. It's a 7-part, half-hour podcast that we've been airing each Friday during the 1 o'clock hour. And we aired the first 6 episodes in 3 one-hour portions, called Post-Roe America, talking to various health care providers, mostly physicians in different states, about the ramifications of the Dobbs decision and how it's affecting access to care in this climate that we see in many states. Mm-hmm. New Mexico, of course, is one of those states where access is still available. But I would be interested in hearing of any anecdotes you have or any concerns you have about access by either in-state or out-of-state patients, things of that nature. What the outlook is for New Mexico, given all of the pressure from other states around the area.
Mm.
There was an out-of-state group that came to a city council meeting trying to get the mm-hmm. city council to essentially take a side. And I don't think the city council proceeded with that discussion, but
they did not. To their credit, they did not.
But it is alarming that there is this pressure from out of state.
Yes.
The other anecdotal issues we've heard from other states, especially states where conservative legislatures have passed very draconian legislation, is that there are women being prosecuted now because of issues related to miscarriage, for example. There are attempts to outlaw the distribution of chemically assisted access. Mm-hmm. The key is that we have politicians who are mostly male politicians controlling women's bodies. In my opinion, that's a major issue, and that's going back centuries.
Yes, I completely agree with you. As clinicians, we really don't see abortion as a standalone issue. What we are really interested in is having people understand that abortion is just one part of what it means to have reproductive access. So in our community, the fact that we have people who are arguing about our right to access abortion also relates to our ability to access care for miscarriage management. You know, it relates to our general ability to plan when we have children, how we raise them. We can't think about abortion is just, you know, the one thing that we are fighting for. That what we're really arguing for is that everyone deserves access to full spectrum of quality reproductive health care options. In order to make that possible, abortion has to be one of those things.
There were cases where women have had children, or they had the first child, had complications, and their own health was at risk, and their ability to have children in the future would be at risk if it wasn't dealt with. And these laws are precluding any kind of treatment. I mean, excepting states such as New Mexico. Even for those out of state who are traveling to this area, money becomes a question. Many simply cannot afford to make the trip.
No, I don't know if you got any of the statistics, but per the stats that I have received, the number of abortions, you know, in-state abortions has increased by probably 50%, but the number of out-of-state abortions is about tripled.
That makes perfect yeah. sense. We are dealing with reproductive health refugees.
That's a really good way to put it, actually. I would agree that these are people who are refugees. They're being pushed to our state because they don't have access anywhere else. And so it bothers me when people try to say that New Mexico is trying to become the abortion capital. We are simply trying to provide the kind of comprehensive care that everyone deserves. And because the states around us are not providing that, then we become the place for, as you say, these healthcare refugees. Yeah, I think that's a really great way to put it, actually. I think the other interesting thing New Mexico has started to do is they initiated a hotline earlier this year. And the idea was to provide a reliable, authoritative place that people could call to ask questions about where to get abortion services and other information like that. And it's really interesting because the Department of Health shared some of the information about the types of calls that they had received over, I think, the course of a month. And first of all, 50% of the calls that they got were actually from out of state. So, you know, 50% were from people from New Mexico, but the majority of the other calls were from Texas. And some callers were calling from as far away as Louisiana, Massachusetts. And then what was also really interesting is that while the majority of calls were for questions about abortion services, people had questions about all sorts of things. They wanted to know about, you know, contraception. They wanted to know about where they could go get STI testing. They wanted to know where they could get testing for pregnancy and other issues like that. So it's clear, like, I think when people are seeking care for abortion, it's not just about abortion. It's about seeking care for all of these things.
Hannah is on with us now.
Oh, great.
Hi, y'all.
Connie had been talking about some of the issues that have been observed here in New Mexico related to out-of-state.
Hannah, I was basically trying to talk about how, you know, we, and I think you agree, that especially in a rural area like this where a single provider really becomes an access point for all different kinds of services, that, you know, access to abortion is really just one of one thing in the suite of things that we need in order to ensure that people have comprehensive access to reproductive care in general. And so I thought that was reflected really well in the data that the New Mexico Department of Health shared with us about the kinds of calls that they were getting from their hotline that, you know, was supposed to be a way for people to find good information about abortion. But it turned out that people wanted to ask questions, not just about abortion, but they wanted to know about housing, STI testing, you know, where to get care for other things that were important to them.
The healthcare relates to all aspects, and women who have problems with their pregnancy, who might have an issue that could jeopardize their own health or their ability to reproduce. In some states where women have actually faced prosecution because of miscarriages, it's a scary time. And I don't know how that relates in New Mexico, other than that we do have what I referred to as some healthcare refugees coming into the state. But again, money is such a big issue. Many people can't even afford to travel out of state if there's an issue.
Yeah. For sure. That's a great summary so far. You've been talking about some good stuff.
In June, an advocacy group out of Texas, a pro-life group, as they're called, came to a Gallup City Council meeting urging the city council to take a stance.
There is a group of folks in Texas that call themselves, they're anti-abortionists who call themselves advocates for what they call sanctuary cities for the unborn. And what they were doing in Texas was going from, you know, small town to small town and asking city councils to pass ordinances that essentially would block abortion care within their, you know, within their city limits. And a lot of that actually became the pattern for the state level legislation that eventually was passed to make abortion care very restrictive in the state of Texas. And so the folks who are running that movement moving through New Mexico and essentially trying to do the same. And they did come to our small town of Gallup and went to the city council to make a case for passing a similar ordinance. So what happened was that these folks came and had a meeting on a Sunday, and our city council meetings are on a Tuesday. Within 48 hours, we were able to organize more than 50 people, including people from all walks of life. A lot of providers were there, a lot of midwives, a lot of physicians, teachers, citizens, Navajo elders, activists, like, you know, people really showed up to really demonstrate that this was not and something that was welcome in our city. I think what really sort of highlighted for me the way that this sort of conversation can be really divisive in a area like ours is the fact that when we looked at the people who got up and were speaking from the anti-abortion point of view, it was really interesting because, you know, a lot of us recognize each other. This is a really small town and we know each other, and, you know, and we have a trust that's built up from just being a small community and knowing each other. And really it really seems to me that the purpose of movements like this is really about eroding trust in government institutions and eroding trust within communities as well, because this is the sort of thing that I think that all of us would agree that healthcare is something that is really important for our community. But when framing it in this sort of like a false moral framework, you know, this sort of us versus them kind of a conversation really does a lot to erode that trust and erode the relationships that we have with each other. You know, I think that that was one of the things that struck me about this event.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Connie on that. I think that it's hard to be anonymous in a small town in many ways, and being able to, you know, I think it's important to be in a space and have people have differing opinions and be able to express that in a safe way. But it is really hard when it becomes, like you said, so ethically bound, I suppose, so charged. And it felt like there wasn't, you know, like the abortion debate has become so huge that there's not really a safe space for conversation. It's very polarizing. It was really wonderful in that space to be able to see so many people from so many different walks of life come out and really talk about how important this was to keep Gallup a safe space.
We hear this over and over that what is lost in the nationwide conversation post Dobbs is that reproductive health care is health care, and that it is about protecting the health of women and their ability to have children and also to give them control over their own bodies.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Rachel. I think that this is definitely something that gets lost. And what I feel like I see on a day-to-day basis is just people being scared to access healthcare because of this debate. And like Connie mentioned, it's healthcare in every aspect. It's contraceptive care, it's preventative care, it's checking cholesterol and thyroid and very basic, very necessary care for patients, but fear of accessing that care because of this huge thing that has been brought up post-Dobbs with abortion, and has really limited care to a population that is already super vulnerable and is in such desperate need of good and high quality care as often as we can give it.
Do you see the state of New Mexico in the foreseeable future continuing to support freedom of choice and reproductive health care?
You know, I think, Rachel, as long as there are people who are willing to understand the nuance in this conversation, and as long as there are providers who are willing to stand up and say that comprehensive health care and is really important for everyone, I think that we can have a healthy environment where people feel safe in accessing care, whether that's abortion care, contraceptive care, or care of any other kind. There is an organization called Strong Families that did a really interesting survey a few years back. And they basically asked the people in all areas of New Mexico, you know, what their thoughts were about, you know, whether or not they believed that people have the ability to hold their own views about abortion and still make their own decisions about healthcare. And the vast majority of people really do believe that, that they can hold their own moral values and still let other people make their own decisions about their own healthcare for themselves and their families. And that was across political lines, that was in rural areas, that was across ethnic lines as well, and religious, among people from different religions as well. The majority of people really truly believe that. And so I think if we, you know, understand that we can hold our own views and still respect that other people will make their own decisions about healthcare, and if the government continues to support that and protect providers who advocate for that in the privacy of their own offices, then I think that we do have hope that New Mexico can be a safe place for people to access reproductive health care.
This conversation is not about your own practice. However, anecdotally, do you find that any number of health providers in New Mexico and the surrounding area are facing such challenges that it's impacting their desire or ability to continue in the field?
I think that, you know, in New Mexico, like you've mentioned, it is kind of a safe space to be able to provide full spectrum reproductive health care. And, you know, I was fortunate to be a person who got to train at University of New Mexico. And that OBGYN department is run by someone who is very much an advocate for full spectrum reproductive health care. And so I think within New Mexico, that ability to practice that full spectrum is protected. I have definitely heard of friends and colleagues who work in other states that feel that this is very, very limited and are looking for other places to practice because of laws that have been passed post-Dobbs.
And of course, the sidebar is that less and less healthcare, appropriate healthcare, is available to those who need it in other states.
That is absolutely correct, Rachel. I think we are already seeing the impact of that. So, in the last 2 years, in the state of New Mexico, we've seen that the number of people seeking abortion care from other states has more than tripled. And so that really does speak to this idea that the states around us have limited their care to the point that people need to seek it elsewhere. And New Mexico happens to be one of those safe places.
I have heard stories nationwide of cases where the health of the mother is at risk, where the ability to have children in the future is at risk. It feels like patients are being boxed in.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the hardest things about a lot of the laws that have been passed post-Dobbs is this exception that often says, you know, that abortion could be considered if the life of the pregnant person is at risk. But what that actually means is so variable and so subjective. Because just like you said, Rachel, you know, for some people who are pregnant, it is really, really important to preserve the ability to be pregnant in the future, to preserve their fertility. And in some situations, dependent on what's going on, that could be lost. And is that, you know, something that should be kind of conglomerated into, you know, the wellness and the life and well-being of the pregnant person? I think it's a really, really hard thing. And at the end of the day, it's really the pregnant people who are suffering because of it. And, you know, doctors who are struggling to try to figure out how to work around all these laws and these new things that have kind of entered into our medical field when we just really want to be able to practice safe medicine.
As you say, Hannah, it is fortunate that you and Connie are able to practice in a state where this kind of legislation is not directly impacting, but it is indirectly impacting many healthcare providers in the state because of the out-of-state healthcare refugees, if you will. Is there also some fear from patients in New Mexico about traveling while they're pregnant, for example, or for worry of something happening and then being trapped in another state?
That's a great question, Rachel. I feel like I've had that conversation with friends of mine who are pregnant. You know, I was just sort of thinking about these exceptions that we make related to abortion care, and just it really sort of astounds me because there is really no other medical service that requires patients to sort of justify themselves in this moralistic way in order to show themselves deserving of that care. What really astonishes me about this is two things. First is that sort of line about where, you know, the person who is deserving of getting an abortion versus somebody who's not is always moving, you know, and that in itself sort of tells you that really these laws are less about protecting people, but are more, I think, about control. And also it just, I think the reality is that we have worked in systems where people talk about these exceptions to the rule for abortion care. And the reality is that, you know, the bar for a patient to prove that they are a victim of incest or rape, or that their lives are in danger, is really high, and it's really very difficult for people to pursue. So I think my main point is that there's really no other medical service where people have to justify themselves in this way, and it's really not right.
To paraphrase a somewhat sexist joke that we've heard for some years, if men could get pregnant, reproductive health care would be a birthright. I think there are many men involved in this struggle who are making rulings, making decisions for women, and it is a very scary time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I would add, Rachel, for your prior comments about fear of travel, just as like a small anecdote, to become board certified as an OBGYN, we actually have to travel to Texas and take an in-person board exam, which I did this past year. And there was a lot of fear for people traveling to Texas, especially pregnant people, wondering like, what if something were to happen while I was there? Can I get safe care somewhere else? And it was just kind of a surreal moment for me as I was hearing about people's fears traveling to Texas to become certified as an OBGYN, and fear of these providers themselves being able to access full spectrum reproductive rights, I think is just kind of unfortunately very illustrative of the world we're living in at this point in time. One of the biggest things that I just think about on a day-to-day basis is the fact that I have to consider all of these laws in my care for my patients. And it's just like a different place to be in, kind of like how Connie was saying that, you know, there's no other medical procedure where you have to prove your ability, your quote unquote worth to get it. You know, we're living in a space right now where I have to really think about all these different laws and regulations that were made, not by, you know, physicians who are doing the care, but by legislators. But that directly impact the way I can interact with my patients, you know, what care I can provide to them, apart from what I think or what the patient may think is best for them based on what we understand in the medicine. And so it's just become a really difficult space to be in. But I'm glad for the conversations and I'm hopeful that they'll continue.
You know, I think if anything, I know that I have had this conversation with other people who provide reproductive health care in our area. And we all universally feel that it's really important for us to be very vocal and to be a public face for the right to access this kind of care, because we want people to be able to come to us and see us as safe, and to be able to know that when they step into our exam rooms, that they are stepping into a judgment-free zone where we can have a conversation about what is best for that person sitting in that room at that moment. And that while there are other things that might impact, you know, the way that healthcare is being practiced, but we believe that that space is sacred. And no matter what happens out there, we're going to fight to protect the sanctity of that space.
That was well said, Connie.
I've been speaking with Dr. Constance Liu and Dr. Hannah Palm.
OBGYNs and community organizers working in the Four Corners region. For KGLP, this is Rachel Cobb. Thank you so much for listening.